In the book of Acts, it says they all lifted up their voices and prayed. Every one of them. The only people who like to stand and pray in front of others were the Pharisees. And Jesus condemned it. If you were to go to Korea, you would find in the Korean churches when the pastor says, "Let us pray," us prays. Everybody prays. Men, women, boys, girls. And you're not embarrassed. You know, when I first went to a prayer meeting, used to pray one after another. And I thought, I'll never be able to pray like that. And a lot of people don't pray because they feel they can't pray as good as somebody else. But when we're all praying together, and the first prayer that Jesus gave us was a communal prayer, "Our Father," not "My Father." Hello? "Deliver us from evil. Give us this day." It's a communal prayer. It's a community prayer. It's a model for prayer, and it's also a communal prayer. But I'm going to lead, and then I want you to pray aloud after me. You can keep your eyes open if you like. Hallelujah. But we're going to lift our hands toward heaven. Let's lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And after me, O Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my understanding, that I may behold wonderful things out of thy word, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Romans chapter 5, reading verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. When sin entered the world, sickness and disease were ushered in with it. The end result of all sickness and disease is death. Isn't that true? Blood pressure, you can die from it. Weak heart, you can die from it. A bad liver, you can die from it. So the end result of all sickness and disease is physical death. Now, death is not a sickness, but a state or a condition. It is the separation of the soul and the spirit from the physical body, and it is the last enemy to be destroyed, as the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:26, where he says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Death is not your friend. Hello? Death is not a doorway into heaven. Jesus is the only door. He said, "I am the door." Hallelujah. He's the door into heaven, not death. Death is an enemy, and death is to be destroyed, and it's the last enemy that shall be destroyed. Before the fall, sickness and disease were unknown in Eden. Seven things, you can write these down, that man enjoyed, or that I should say, seven things the man enjoyed in Eden were lost by Adam's disobedience. Number one, God's covering for man. The first thing that Adam and Eve realized when they ate the forbidden fruit was their nakedness. And they couldn't stand the sight of one another. They lost the garments of glory and beauty that God had clothed them with. The second thing that man lost was the privilege of eternal life. man was never forbidden to eat of the tree of life. Why he never ate from it, I'll never understand. He lost the privilege of eternal life. He lost wealth and prosperity. Wealth and prosperity beyond your wildest dreams. The garden of the garden that God planted in Eden was covered with every precious stone and jewel imaginable. That was the floor of the garden, plus gold and silver. It's after the flood that these things were buried and buried forever. The fourth thing that Adam lost was fellowship with God. God walked with him and talked with him in the cool of the day, every day. The fifth thing that Adam lost was his kingship, his dominion over creation. God gave him dominion over all the works of God's hands, and Adam lost that in his disobedience. Number six, he lost his prophetship. Adam was a prophet. All the gifts were flowing in Adam. When God brought all the animals to him and the birds, Adam named every one of them immediately. He didn't have to look and say, now that thing's got a long thing in the front like a vacuum cleaner. It's got a little thing at the end of its body. I think I'll call that a tail. It's got four tree stumps for legs. What'll I call it? Got two big floppy ears, two big tusks. Let me think. No, he named it instantly. Elephant. And it's been elephant ever since. Tiger. Lion. Serpent. Did you know Adam named him? He named every creature there was. Eagle, canary, sparrow. He named every one of them. But he never called one Hypithecanthropus erectus. The school teachers will understand what I'm talking about. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And so God said, let us make a helpmeet for man. So God put him into a deep sleep. The rabbis tell us that it was for 3 days and three nights. And then he cut open his side, and sinless blood flowed out. And God took of Adam's flesh and blood and bone, and he built a woman. God never called her woman, and God never called her Eve. It says in Genesis 5 verse 1, in the day that he created them, he called their name Adam. Adam the male called her woman, man with a womb. And after the fall, he called her Eve, the mother of the life giver. He gave her that name in faith and in hope. He lost his prophetship. But when he saw her, when God brought her to him, he immediately said, this is bone of my bone, this is flesh of my flesh, therefore she shall be called woman, for out of man she was taken. That's how we know how he named the animals. He didn't have to be told. He didn't have to scratch his head and say, oh, you beautiful thing, you. God said, let us make a helpmeet for him. Now, that word helpmeet only occurs once in the Bible, and that's in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. It's a very difficult Hebrew word to translate. The rabbis will tell you it's one of the most difficult words to translate, and helpmeet doesn't do it justice. But they can't find a better word. I was talking to a rabbi one time in Israel, and I said to him, Rabbi, What about the word mirror image? He said, that's it. That's exactly it. A mirror image. She was his mirror image. When Adam looked at her, Adam the male looked at her, he saw himself. And when she looked at him, she saw herself. They were of equal authority, equal dominion, equal power. The only thing they differed in was gender and function. It's after the fall that now the male, the husband, was to rule over the wife. But that's part of the result of the fall. Christ has redeemed us from that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Boy, the men weren't too enthusiastic. Well, you should be. Glory to God. Always remember your mother was a woman. Unless you came in on a flying saucer, which I doubt very much. He lost his prophetship. He lost his priesthood. Both Adam and Eve were the high priest of creation. In his redeeming work, Christ has recovered the seven Edenic conditions that Adam lost. And now we can enjoy them again. We can enjoy God's covering, his righteousness, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, the garments of salvation. Christ has restored to us everything that Adam lost. We now have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Not might have, but have, present tense, everlasting life. Wealth and prosperity. Adam lost it, and now we have it again. John, the beloved apostle, writes in his third epistle and verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. We have fellowship with God restored. Hallelujah. He walks with us. He talks with us. We walk with him and talk with him. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There's nothing you can do that will cause God to turn his back on you or walk away from you. He said, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear thou not. I am with thee. I will help thee. I will be thy God. Dominion over creation. John, the beloved apostle, writes in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 5, Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God. You are now a king. Hallelujah. And priesthood is restored. Praise the name of the Lord. Kings and priests. You ladies are not queens, you are kings. Glory to God. Prophetship. The gifts of the Holy Ghost have been restored to us through the atoning work of Christ and priesthood. And we've just given you that. Peter says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And not peculiar strange. Peculiar funny ha-ha. Glory to God. The doctrine of divine healing is rooted and grounded in the following fivefold biblical revelations. Number one, God has revealed himself as our divine healer. He has declared, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I want you to turn with me with the following scriptures. Exodus, the 15th chapter, verses 23 through 26. Exodus 15, the second book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, and the 15th chapter. This is where we have the first song mentioned in the Bible, the Song of Redemption. It's an amazing thing. When you get saved and you know you're redeemed, you want to sing. Doesn't matter whether you've got a voice on you like a bullfrog or an old crow. You still want to sing. Exodus 15, reading verses 23 through 26. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, oh hallelujah, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. From bitter water they became sweet water when that tree that was cut down was cast into it. I was preaching on this text of scripture in the little Orthodox church in Bournemouth. We were having a divine healing mission there, and a man jumped up. His name is Ken Andrews. He jumped to his feet. He said, "I've drank of those waters and they're still sweet today." Hallelujah. During the 50s, he was a British serviceman serving in Egypt, and he was assigned to the Sinai Peninsula in the desert. And there he drank of the waters of Marah, and they're still flowing sweet today. When God heals, he does it forever. Somebody say amen. Amen. 2 years ago, the Lord healed her of the pains in her body, and she's still healed today. Hallelujah. Now listen to what it says. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. Now let me say something. Most people, I would say 95% of people, do not know the difference between a statute and an ordinance. A statute can only be made by the legislature. Here in Great Britain, that is the House of Commons and the House of Lords. They make the laws. They make the statutes. An ordinance is made by the city councils. And an ordinance is how the statute is to be carried out, how it is to be put into force in that locality. Now, God not only made the statute, but he also made the ordinance. And the legislature can do that. The legislature can make the statute and also ordinances for how it's to be carried out. Only the legislature can repeal that ordinance, that statute. And only God can repeal the statute and ordinance that I'm about to read to you. Oh, wow. And I've got some news for you. The statute book has been closed, never to be added to or taken from. So the statute is still in force. Now, what is the statute? Here it is. He made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently, this is the ordinance, if thou wilt diligently hearken, listen to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight. Number one, you've got to listen to what God's saying. Number two, you've got to do that which is right in his sight. Doesn't matter about your neighbors. Hello? Doesn't matter about your, what people think of you. You are out to please God by doing that which is right in his sight. And will give ear to his commandments. The Apostle John says his commandments are not grievous. And keep all his statutes. Now, here's the statute. I will put none of these diseases upon thee. First you have the ordinance and now you have the statute. God said, I won't put any disease on you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. I was preaching in a church in Canada one time, in Alberta. And I said to the, supposed to be Pentecostals, charismaniacs. I said, I preach at more joyful funerals than I have here. Well, I said it several times. I was there for a week of meetings. And one night when I said it, a little voice piped up from the congregation and said, you've told us that before. I said, oh, thank God, there's life in this church. Amen. Do you know they invited me back? I've never been back. Glory to God. I don't want to go back. Unless God, I'd have to have a vision and a revelation before I'd go back to that place. Now the pastor and his wife are very dear friends of mine. So the statute is, I won't put disease and sickness upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Now hear it. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Present continuous tense. I am the Lord that continually heals you, that goes on healing you. God himself has declared himself to be our healer. Martin Luther in the German translation of the scriptures translates it, I am the Lord thy physician. Many of us have received Christ as our Savior. We've received him as our baptizer in the Holy Ghost. We've received him as our Lord. But how many people have ever, by a deliberate choice, received him as their physician? Everybody, lift your hands to heaven and say after me, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have declared in your word that you are my healer, that you are my physician, and I receive you now into my life as my physician, the healer of my body, the savior of my soul, and the baptizer of my spirit. I receive you as my physician now. And I thank you that you are healing me now. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. People need to receive the Lord as their physician. When I first came among Pentecostal people, they never took medications. They never took anything. I'm not telling you to stop taking medications. Don't misunderstand me. But they had such a faith in God in those days, they didn't need it. It's all a matter of the level of faith. We go from faith to faith. And so we are to grow in faith. Glory to God. Don't ever give up taking your medicine unless God tells you. And when God tells you, or the physician tells you, you no longer need it. But don't you take that upon yourself. There's an old saying in law, a man who defends himself before a court of law has a fool for a client. And a person who tries to doctor himself has a fool for a patient. Let's go on. I want you to turn with me to our next scripture, and that is in Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26. And you shall serve the Lord your God. That word serve is the same word that's translated worship. We worship the Lord in our service, and when we worship him, we are serving him, and when we serve him, we are worshiping him. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will is a decision, I shall is an intention, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Hello. Now this is what God has said, and he hasn't changed. This is one of his statutes. And the statute book is closed and it's never been repealed. Oh, hallelujah. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. I'm not looking for a short life. I have at least a right for 70 years, although the man who wrote that was on a downer. I nearly used an American expression, but you would faint if I do. Well, why not faint? The Americans would say the man that wrote that was on a bummer. And he really was. He was flat in his backside. He was on a downer. 70 years. No. God said man's day shall be 120 years. Genesis the 6th chapter. Glory to God. Come on, saints. God says the number of thy days I will fulfill. I'm not expecting to have a heart attack. I've gone beyond the 70 years. Hallelujah. I'm on the way to the 120 mark, according to the prophets. Okay. Hallelujah. Turn with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 7. That's the 5th book of the Bible. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 14 through 15. I hope this is blessing you. I'm getting blessed. Every time I read the word aloud, I get blessed. That's the best way to get blessed, is read the word of God aloud. Don't mumble it, read it aloud. Verses 14 and 15. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. Amen. Oh, come on, saints. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. All sickness. He's going to take it away from you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Ooh. People don't want to meddle with you and me. People don't want to meddle with you and me. It's a dangerous thing to meddle with the redeemed of the Lord. It's a more dangerous thing to meddle with his children. And we are more than redeemed. We are his children. And do you think God is going to put sickness and disease upon his children? No. He says, I will not do that. Well, no, don't you know, Brother Cody? The Lord wants me to be sick. God put this sickness upon me so I could be more holy. Claptrap. Okay. Turn with me to Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103. I want to leave you in a good place tonight. I'm not ready to let go yet. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, yea, 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 and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now David sang the Psalms. He sang them. The Amplified Version has in one of the Psalms set to a wild Hittite melody. He didn't make up his melodies. If he couldn't make them up, he went and adopted them, like the Sallies did. You know, they'll always be in England. They put Christian words to that. Glory to God. You look very extinguished with those glasses. Thank you. Yes. They'll edit that out, by the way. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And now he's going to mention five benefits of the atonement. Your old age pension is a benefit, but you don't get it unless you apply for it. Come on. I've been enjoying mine now. My Medicare, my Social Security. I didn't go and say, please, sir, I want to get my Social Security, but I don't know whether I've been good enough to get it. This is how Christians go on with God. You just turn up at the office. Well, here I am. I had my 65th birthday and I'm here for my pension. What do I fill out? Oh, you have to prove you were born in Britain. So you get a birth certificate or your baptismal record. You know, the parish baptismal record is just as good as a birth certificate. And you turn up with that, or your passport. And you turn up and you fill out the form and you sign it. When do I get it? How much am I getting? Come on now. You have a right. It's a benefit. You paid taxes. Glory to God. Listen to these benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Number one, who forgiveth, present continuous tense. Who continually forgives, who goes on forgiving all. Not some. All. Thine iniquities. That's better than having your sins forgiven. Iniquities is your rebellious, stubborn, pig-headedness and disobedience. You were Satan's little darling, doing his work, and God forgave you. All of it. Who healeth, who goes on healing, who continually heals all your diseases. Come on, saints. How many iniquities does he forgive? How many sicknesses does he heal? Wonderful. Wow. Let's turn to Psalm 107. Or actually, Psalm 105, first of all. Psalm 105, verse 37. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. He's referring to the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one sick person. Population of 3.5 to 4 million people. No arthritis, no blindness, no deafness, no one with lost teeth. Not one feeble person among their tribes. They were brought out under the blood of the Passover lamb, and as they were eating the body of the Passover lamb and drinking the wine, God healed every one of them. They were forgiven all their sins and healed of all their diseases. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Now, if that happened under the type, what should you and I be experiencing under the anti-type, under the fulfillment? Psalm 107. Oh, no, we'll read a little more here. Come down to verse 42. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. 400 years of slavery, and they collected 400 years of wages plus interest in one night. Don't worry when people are seeking to rob you and steal from you. God will restore it to you. And if he doesn't do it through them, he'll do it through somebody else, and you'll get it back with interest. And God's interest is better than any bank could give you. What are your savings account interest here now in the States? I mean, here in Britain. 3.5 to 5. Do you know what it is in America at the moment? 0.75%.
Bring your money over here.
Pardon?
Bring your money over here.
Ooh, that's an idea. Yes. Next time I'll have to come over, I can open up a bank account while I'm here. Wonderful Jesus. Okay. He brought them now, Psalm 107. Let's go back to Psalm 103 just for a moment. There's a scripture there. The one I'm looking for, Andrew will help me, Pastor Andrew. He sent his word and healed them. It's probably in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And verse 17 through 21. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord, and the Lord says, serve you right. You deserve it. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Oh, somebody say, praise the Lord. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is of the utmost importance to understand that both God and his purposes are immutable. He has not changed. Turn with me to Malachi 3:6, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, change not. God has no intention of changing. I love it. I, the Lord, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God never changes. He's still the Lord who heals. He's still the one who takes away all sickness from the midst of us. He's still the one who says, I won't put disease or sickness upon you. And he hasn't changed in that purpose. He hasn't changed in that intention. Romans 11:29. And do you have your Amplified with you tonight? I may borrow it, please. Thank you. Just send it over with young Luke. Romans 11:29. Thank you, Luke, dear. Romans 11:29 says in the King James Version, For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Let me read you that now, the Amplified. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. He's the same. He's the same. Thank you. We'll probably borrow it again. May not be tonight. Are you enjoying this? This ought to give you food for thought. Go home tonight and, like good sheep, chew the cud. Hallelujah. Let's turn to James 1:17. The Epistle of James. I love James. He's a humble man. He never says, James, the brother of Jesus. He's not a name dropper. James, a servant of God. Well, James 1, verse 17, hear the word of the Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no shady spots in God. He's not variable. He's not two-faced. He's not one thing today and another thing tomorrow. I, the Lord, change not. I, the Lord, change not. Praise God. Well, let's see. I think we'll stop there tonight. Where we want to take you is very simple. I'm going to let you know where we're taking you. On Sunday when we come together, we want to look at Jesus, our Saviour, as also our anointed healer. On the cross, he made atonement for our sicknesses and diseases as well as our sins. We want to take you into that. And then how the atonement, Jesus' atonement, was for the whole man, the inner man and the outer man, and how the two correspond to each other. That will bless you. Amen. That will bless you. So we want to take you through that. Then we want to take you through the great atoning types. The serpent lifted up. Job's ransom or atonement for healing. And that's hopefully, and I'm pretty sure we can get into that on Sunday. We may get into the next one then, how that divine healing is an essential element of the proclamation of the gospel. Yes. Jesus sent them out to preach the gospel and heal the sick. Yeah. You don't need anyone to lay hands on you as a child of God. Laying on of hands actually is for the outsider. Yeah. The normal place for you and me to be healed is at that table. Yeah. As we eat the bread and drink the wine, they are to faith the solemn sign of the heavenly and the divine. And so that's what the normal place for you and me. If you and I are sick, we're supposed to call for the elders of the church, and they're to anoint us with oil and pray over us the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Laying on of hands is for the man outside. Well, now, we have nothing against laying our hands on. By the way, Jesus never prayed for the sick. You can't show me one time where he ever prayed for the sick. I was ministering at a church and they said, used to advertise prayer for the sick. I said, don't advertise that, because that's all they'll get is a prayer. Put in your advert healing for the sick. Because Jesus didn't tell us to go and pray for the sick. He said, go and heal the sick. Didn't he? Come on, saints. We've got to start lining up with the word. And get, you know, I just shot down a couple of sacred cows. And probably a bull as well. But hallelujah, they needed to get shooting. We have our Pentecostal traditions. And I just wipe my foot on all tradition. Let me say one thing in closing. There's only one thing that will make the word of God ineffectual in your life and my life. And it's not unbelief. It isn't, no. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the word of God of no effect? He says, no way. Jesus said, by your traditions, you make the word of God of none effect. Our church traditions, there are all kinds of traditions, political traditions, ethnic traditions, racial traditions, family traditions. Hello. The old school Thai tradition. But the most dangerous of all of them are religious traditions, which is what Jesus was referring to. I constantly pray, Lord, cleanse me from all unknown traditions that I may have in my life, that your word may be more and more effectual in me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for your word, because the entrance of your word giveth light. Your word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And with its light we walk in sure places. We are not walking in darkness, but we are walking in the light of thy word. I thank you, Lord, for thy healing power that is present right now. I thank thee that your people have received